A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end, he has glorified the seaward route, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing. Dispelled is darkness, for there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole that on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my help. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom should I shrink? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? There is one thing I ask of the Lord, for this I long, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hope in God and take heart. Hope in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid?
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Casting a net into the sea, they were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them. And immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every illness and disease among the people. The gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our children who are preparing to receive their first Holy Communion in just a couple of months. We have a special ritual that we're going to do after my homily this morning as we continue to walk with them and their preparation to receive Jesus for the first time. So, very special welcome to these children, to their families, those who have gathered with them this morning. When I was assigned to one of my other parishes in the diocese, I was saying Mass one day during the week, and after communion, I always sit down and have some time to reflect on what has happened during the Mass. So I closed my eyes and entered into a time of thanksgiving before the Lord. And there was an elderly couple. They always came to daily Mass. And they were sitting there, and I was kind of lost in prayer for a while. And the lady, the wife, said to George rather loudly, her husband George rather loudly, she said, "George, I think he's fallen asleep," because I had my eyes closed. And and I realized that, you know, a lot of us have fallen asleep to the message of the gospel and to be witnesses for the gospel in a world that has become so secularistic and almost atheistic. Yesterday, we had the great privilege of dedicating our new monument for the Respect for Life, which is on the west side of our church, on the grounds near the statue of our Blessed Mother. If you've not seen this monument, I invite you after Mass just to go by and look at it. As you look at the monument, there are two images that are shown on the monument. One is a baby, as we pray for the ending of abortion. But the other image is the image of an elderly couple walking off together. As we realize that even the end of life is being so attacked through what we call euthanasia. We have on that image the understanding that the church, in proclaiming the gospel, always calls us to be alert and awake to the reality that we are defending life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. And that our life, our human life, is the greatest gift that God has given us in this world, that he sought out of love to create us in love, to bring us forth, to allow us to live, to breathe, to work, to achieve so much, leading to eternal life with Almighty God. Everything about the gospel of Jesus is rooted in the proclamation of life. We even speak of the gospel as the gospel of life, because there are two aspects of the mission of Jesus. He came to proclaim the gospel, the good news, that God loved us so much that he gave us his only son, that we might be redeemed from the tragedy of sin and inherit everlasting life. And secondly, Jesus and his mission is here to heal suffering humanity. Humanity that is suffering from so many afflictions that flow out of the tragedy of sin. Disease, infirmities, struggles in our human condition that all are somehow connected to the tragedy of what we call original sin. And so Jesus came to do two things: proclaim the good news, which we call the gospel, and to free humanity from its suffering. In today's gospel, we hear of Jesus touching those who were ill and freeing them from disease and infirmities. You know, all the miracles of Jesus are not just physical miracles. They go far beyond that. They always reach into the human heart of the person who's being healed. He touches them spiritually and heals whatever brokenness there may be in their faith and their relationship with God. And out of that, he draws the person back into the human community. Because in all the miracles that Jesus does, the person who is being healed somehow has been disconnected from the human community. And thus, in their illness and their pain and their struggle and suffering, they have lost a sense of their dignity and value as a human being. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the great tragedy that we experience in today's world as we deal with this crisis of human life, is that we so often have lost a sense of the dignity and value of the human person as it is connected to the community in which they are living. We somehow disconnect them from that community of faith. We certainly do that in the act of abortion. We do it in the act of euthanasia, which is so-called mercy killing. Anything that disrupts the human life for being part of the community of the faithful is taking them away from how God has created them to be. Not only is our own life sacred, but our life is rooted in the community. We belong to each other. And only God can separate us from that. No one has the right to disrupt that life. No one has the right to take it away from conception to natural death. No one has that right. It belongs to God. All life has come from God, and all life is going back to God. We only live and breathe because of God. You have a human life only because of God. And for us, or for anyone to say, this is my life and I can do with it what I want, is an aberration in the sight of God, who created life in all of its essence of goodness and holiness, because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And no one has the right to disrupt that or to tear that down. All the politicians in our world today who say, it is the woman's body, it is her right, she can do with it what she wants. No, she can't. Because life belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. Our life has flowed from God into us. No one has the right to disrupt that. And no one has the right to destroy it. No one. What has happened is that we have become God. We have become God. We have decided, I will determine when life begins, and I will determine when life ends. No one has that right. You don't, and I don't. You don't, and I don't. Only God. Only God. This past week, we saw the Walk for Life, did we not, in Washington, D.C. Hundreds of thousands of people, mostly young people, walking for life. You know, my friends, I have a lot of hope, and the church has a lot of hope, and the understanding that because of these young men and women who so courageously live and proclaim the gospel of life, through their actions and their march this past week, that this particular element of life that is so crucial to us will be changed, and that the respect and dignity of life that we are so precious to us will once again be present. We as Catholic Christians have an obligation to proclaim the gospel that Jesus gave us. The gospel that he gave is the gospel of life. It just is. And for those who say it's not, I'm sorry, you're wrong. And the gospel of life enters into every arena of the human experience. The gospel of life touches every area of human experience. Jesus came to proclaim the gospel and to heal humanity from its suffering, to draw humanity out of its brokenness in the midst of its life, and to bring us into the fullness of God's life. Our own human life is a sign of what awaits us. This human life is a precious gift, and God already has touched this life with his divine presence, beginning in our very creation brought to in a wonderful moment of joy and fulfillment in baptism as we become members of the family of God. Life is so precious. As you look at the monument that we have in our grounds today, you also will see something else there. There is an image, the monument is in the form of a tear. You know, my brothers and sisters, I do believe that God weeps for what has happened to our world, the creation that he's given us. I believe that he weeps for those who have chosen to destroy human life. God weeps. And we also are one with him in weeping for what has happened to our world that has become so blind to the dignity and gift of this precious, precious gift from conception to natural death. And we also weep for our dear, for men and women who have gone through this anguish of the abortion and all the aspects of that. We walk with them in the anguish and pain that they have suffered out of that. We look upon them with compassion and love and mercy. We don't judge or condemn. None of us have the right to do that. Only God is the judge. So we look upon those who have walked this walk and those who have had that experience in their life. We just look upon them with compassion and love and mercy and say, you can come back to us. Be touched by God's mercy and love because of what perhaps they did. They're not unloved by God. God is reaching out and drawing them back to him. We never judge or condemn. Please, never. We embrace them in merciful love, and we pray that we can draw them back into where they need to be with God and with the understanding of life itself. And so, my friends, I invite you, if you've not seen the beautiful monument that now stands on our ground here at the church, to stop by and look at it after Mass for a few minutes. See it as will be permanently present for us, reminding us always of this awesome gift. This awesome gift that God gave us when he created us in his image and likeness.